Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yes, indeed. Let's get started here. Please welcome my special guest this evening, Kevin Killen.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
The everyday life of a child seems rather simplistic to most of us. They play, they fight, they explore, they go on hikes, and they also, oh, by the way, some of them actually learn about the paranormal. It is not a common occurrence that children experience the paranormal at a young age. Some children actually do not know that they're dealing with the paranormal until something so startling happens that they have to sit up and take notice. My guest this evening, Kevin Killen, has won 5 Virginia Press Awards during his time in journalism. After stepping away from journalism, he now counsels recovering addicts. He has written a book to give insight into what others are experiencing in the paranormal, as he has also gone through a number of experiences from a very young age to present. Kevin has experienced over time interesting phenomena, footsteps, EVPs, and actually an EVP where something answered his question. Experiences continued into his adulthood, where he had a relationship with a psychic witch. He believed that this relationship caused many incidents, as well as an attachment of a female spirit that joined him in the shower. It was also at this point that he believed his girlfriend had become possessed and had had some dark things happen to her during this time as well. But it just didn't end at the home front. It also carried on into his workplace, which was a residential substance abuse facility. In this facility, his co-workers, including his boss, began to also experience unusual activity. We had a lot to talk about this evening, so grab yourself a blanket as Kevin and I go head on head in discussing our own experiences with the paranormal. Please welcome to the show this evening my special guest, Kevin Killen. Well, good evening, Kevin, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Kelly, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, this is going to be real fun tonight because Kevin and I have an awful lot in common. And in fact, we had a lot of questions, and we still do, of course, about our paranormal activity and experiences. So everyone out there, especially if you're having a number of incidents and stuff, maybe something tonight that both of us say will resonate and either help you or confuse you. It'll be one of the two. So we'll see how that goes. So Kevin, tonight, we're going to start out as usual. Go back as far as you can, when you might have first had your first experience or something that kind of caught your attention. And then we're going to evolve it from there.
Okay, sure. My first experience was I was 5 years old, living in an old house in Evanston, Illinois. And my parents, or my father and my other brothers, had gone to a basketball game in St. Louis, which left me and my mother. So we were downstairs eating, and we had those wooden floors upstairs, and I clearly, distinctly heard footsteps across that wooden floor. So I turned to my mother, and I said, "Well, who's that?" And she said, oh, that's my little boy. And I was like confused because I was like, what little boy? I'm the only little boy in this house. I don't know who she's talking about. Later on, I came to find out she thought somebody had broken in because she was scared. So she didn't want to scare me further. But yeah, that was my first experience. And I remember it clear as day. It was just heavy footsteps across a wooden floor. And we were the only two in the house. So that was my first experience.
You know, that's interesting about her reaction, really. Because a parent, you know, to say that that's her little boy, knowing that you're old enough to know that you don't probably have a brother, or if you did, the brother wasn't in the house at the time. How did she act after that? Did she like go up to investigate, or did she bring you to another area for safety? What did she do?
Yeah, she went ahead and said she was going to the bathroom, but then she ended up going upstairs and investigating. And of course, there was nothing there because, again, we were the only two in the house. But yeah, that was definitely weird.
Mm-hmm. So the footsteps, did they sound like a man's footsteps, really loud, or did they sound like a child's footsteps? How do you recall that?
Yeah, they sounded definitely male, and they were barefoot. It was like if you were barefoot walking across the floor. It wasn't like big, heavy, stomping boots, but you could tell like when you walk across a floor and with no shoes on, that's exactly what it sounded like.
Okay, yeah, that kind of, and especially the floorboards sometimes are a little loose, so they kind of rattle a little bit. No matter if you're barefoot or not, you can still hear that sound of that. Did you hear that sound since that time?
No, that was the only time. Just the one time in that house.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about that house for a moment. You know, a lot of people think that older homes are the only homes that are haunted, or they have apparitions in them. Some of them do, don't. Some of them obviously don't. Not all of them do. But, you know, newer homes can have hauntings in them as well. I know that I've managed to haunt or bring back with me or whatever numerous friends, I guess, or maybe they were enemies in the end, but you know, to different homes that I lived in, or maybe possibly something about your energy or something about your mother's energy somehow what we would say lit up the environment a little bit, where they were drawing or they were receiving that energy to a different level. What are your thoughts about that? Did you ever have those discussions when you were younger regarding whether or not there were any kind of abilities or things like this have happened before?
No, unfortunately, you know, I never did. And my mother, I knew she had something, and she passed about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I knew she had some ability, and the only time we had a discussion when I was in college, and something happened over when I was in college, and I called her and we talked about it. But for whatever reason, I don't think she was scared. She just, maybe she didn't understand, because it was back in the late 80s, early 90s, so we never really discussed things like that. But she always had something, and I knew she had a gift of some sort, but she just never talked about it.
Yeah. And I'm also can relate to that, because back in the 80s and also the 90s, that is something that you just didn't bring up, you know, at the lunch table. I mean, really, the first time I ever had the opportunity to, because it was fascinating to me, I don't know why, was when two teachers came forward and had their story written in the school newspaper, because they had something haunting their home, and they were using a student along with her Ouija board to make contact with this apparition that actually at then gave them a lot of information, which was odd. Now, to this day, we advise not playing around with the Ouija board, because there's more to them than most people realize. But I agree. Back then, we didn't talk about this. And even if I did, I grew up very religious in a church where it's either demons or angels. You don't have this other stuff, right? If you died, you automatically passed over and you left. That was the viewpoint of how I got brought up. You know, you left and there was no hanging around. There was no extra whatever. What was your views about that back in the 80s and the 90s? Did you have similar views?
Yeah, I did. And it was really unfortunate because, again, back then, like you said, you didn't talk about these things, because if you did, they backed away slowly.
Yep.
Or they gave you the side eye. They said, hey, you know, the guys in the white coats are going to come get you. You better, you know, or, you know, it was really hush hush. Or in my case, my family never believed me at all, other than my mother. Right. The rest of my family never believed me. And they to this day, that's a sore subject, and I don't talk about it really with, especially with one of my family members, because we really get into a heated debate about this. So I know I can't talk to him about that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's just kind of how it was. So you just kind of kept it to yourself.
Yeah, it's the same in my family. I have a couple siblings that have had pseudo experiences. So I think that they have some kind of a belief in it, but that is not. There are also family members that I have that you don't talk about it at all, because they're very adamant. They're very, you know, you're dealing with demonic energy or whatever. No, I'm not dealing with demonic energy. But the thing is, you can't convince a skeptic that there's something out there until the skeptic has such a profound experience of some sort, where they somehow they start to look at things a little differently. And I know that a couple of them in my family actually have started looking at this a little bit differently, but I have had to prove my positioning on it very strongly in various ways to get my point across that there was something also in our family line, I think, too. And usually they say it's the maternal side. I think mine was both. Was your father alive, or were they still together back then when you were?
Yeah, they were. I don't think it was really on his side, though. I think it was my mother. But it was funny. It was interesting because my father ended up moving to Japan.
Oh,
and he ended up, they got divorced. They ended up marrying a Japanese lady. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about the Japanese culture or Oriental culture, most Oriental people, they like ghosts and things are all part of their life. Like, you know, anything. So she's really into this. Mm-hmm. And always is a big believer. So even way before my book was even out, we talk about that. She was like, oh yeah, she really is into that stuff. And you know, I never asked him if he did or not. So I really honestly don't think he did. He was just kind of ambivalent towards it all.
Yeah. Well, and again, depending on their upbringing, depending on how their own experiences in something unusual. I mean, I can tell you my grandparents' house, which was, in my view, a house of love, because we loved our grandparents and stuff like that. So we felt safe around them. And we also felt like nothing in that house would ever hurt us if there was something in there, because it was so filled with love. Well, that's the place I got attacked. That's the place I learned a lot. That's the place where I had a number of experiences. And even when I asked the question at a young age, is this house haunted? No, it's not haunted. No, it's all your imagination. It's, you know, and I had high anxiety in that house sitting there alone. It did a whizzy on me. And I had a number of things going on in there that could not be denied. And half the time I sat out on the porch, even in freezing cold in Minnesota weather, freezing cold, because I just could not go into that house. It was just, this is when they weren't home, you know, and stuff like that. So that's interesting. And then I don't know if your mother was alive to this day, how much she would have jumped on the bandwagon about it. You know, sometimes even if they have knowledge or experiences about this, sometimes they just kind of want to silently write it off. But you can't deny it when you start having experiences, because this can go back at least 7 to 14 generations. So something obviously ended up from some generation in our genetic line to incite something that somehow makes us a little bit more susceptible. So 5 years old, you hear these footsteps. Okay, after that point, can you think of another situation you had an experience, and we're going to start to continue to evolve this a little bit?
Yes. So as I got older, as I grew up, I got into the paranormal books that I could find in the library, and Hans Holzer was one of my favorite reads. I think I read everything that he put out, and then I got into the Warrens mm-hmm. and read everything that they had. And I saw Amityville and The Exorcist mm-hmm. way too early. I was too young to see any of that. So
yeah, a little
that kind of skewed me a little bit. But so I didn't really have anything really happen that noticeable. But what I did have happen is, again, and we had moved to Virginia at this time, and I was being raised in Falls Church, Virginia. And I had the same wooden floors in my bedroom, and I would hear footsteps in that room at night as if they were just walking around in circles. It was just what, or walking up to me and looking at me and walking away. And that was almost a nightly occurrence through high school.
Hmm. Like the sensation of something coming towards you, you could feel that?
Yes.
Yeah. But visually, you knew something was there, but you didn't necessarily... couldn't necessarily see that, correct? Did you have animals?
Yes.
Did your dog ever react to anything in the house?
He did. And he was a big German, or sorry, he was a big Doberman. So mm-hmm. yeah, he would. And later on in life, I had cats, and they were twice as, you know, they always would react to things. So that was always interesting. But yeah, he did. He'd bark at stuff in the corner. He'd look in the corner of the ceiling, and we didn't see anything, but he obviously did.
Yeah. You know, what's really popular is corners. Sides. I've heard this multiple times. I don't know why something wants to hang out in a corner or an upper corner or anything like that. This is a very common thing that people bring up all the time. They always look up, they look at this corner. I don't know if it's an exit type of thing where they can come and go, like if there's like a small portal where they can come and go through the corner of the house. I have no idea what the attraction is to that. I don't know if I'll ever learn of that. Same with mirrors. They can, especially if they're silver lined, they can go into those mirrors to the infinity of which the mirror is, and then they can essentially turn around and eventually come right back out. Unless, of course, I don't know much about non-silver lined mirrors, but I do know that silver lined mirrors, the real deal, the resin of that is something pretty powerful. And I don't like mirrors to this day. We have mirrors, but I don't like mirrors. Had you ever had any unusual feelings about being around mirrors at all where you're at?
Yes. Luckily, I haven't seen anything, but I'm always waiting for something to walk behind me mm-hmm. as I look into it, like whether I'm shaving or just, you know, whatever. But I believe mirrors are portals. Mm-hmm. So they're free to come and go through those things. And mm-hmm. whether it's a stand, one of the big old stand, the ones that stand up and move, or the ones in your cabinet and your bathrooms. I'm the same. I don't like mirrors either.
Well, until you've had an experience in a 900-year-old bed and breakfast over in Wales. I think it was Wales. We went to a few places where my mirror started cycling at the toss of the holy water from my husband. Until you've seen a mirror cycle around in front of your face, and it was no carnival joke, you will ask yourself how many gods there are out there to help you, because I went into an absolute panic attack. Now, I couldn't tell, though, when he threw that, because I was staring right at the mirror. And actually, I was surrounded by mirrors. There was one on each wall, which I noticed, or a curio type thing and all that. And I don't know, when he did that, I really don't know if it was fleeing and went into the mirror. I suppose I would have known the answer. No, I wouldn't have known the answer. Whether it's the top or the bottom, it still went cycling around and flipped. Wow. And and not only that, it had its sense of humor. So the next day, after I barely survived my night in that room, I couldn't sleep. I was begging for whatever it was, to please don't hurt me. I felt it on my body. It was icy cold. It sat on my knees, and I felt it, and the handprints were on my pillow. And I could go on and on about that haunted room, the room I had to be in because that was my command. The next day, the manager brought me back up there, and she said, I need to ask you about this mirror. And I didn't mention anything about it up until that point. I said, I really don't want to go back up there. And I don't like that mirror either, by the way. But we went back up there, and he had to ask permission to get into the room. Excuse me, I'm a cough. And she brought me to the mirror, and she says, every time her maid is vacuuming on the floor and she bends over, the bottom of the mirror rim lifts up and hits her in the butt. And so, and it has a sense of humor too, but or it was very flirtatious, whatever it was. So yes, it's a hiding place, definitely for the unknown. Anything else did you notice when you moved? So now you're having this sound happening in your own room. Did you think that it followed you?
You know, at the time I didn't, because I was so new to the paranormal that I was still learning a lot of things. And so I just, again, I you know, read the, you know, Castle Ghosts and this and that. I can't even remember. I read so many books. But I was just kind of like, oh, okay, hey, I know those footsteps. Oh, I'm going through that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why. And I knew that nobody died in the house because the house wasn't that old. But I, like you said, finding out later that it doesn't have to be a 1600-year-old castle. It could be a brand new home. It could be the land or the energy or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So I knew it wasn't that. I just didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be next door too, because when I photographed the image of my, what I believe to be my relatives in the screen window, and the little girl, which I misidentified at first, this is how I learned I was telepathic, because something came over me saying that the genealogy was wrong. And then I did an investigation on the little girl, and there's an older man in the picture. I soon came to realize that I mislabeled her name, and then I realized that she died in a house about 1.5 to 2 miles away. So they can come to a home of familiarity and or a place of comfort, and they can territorialize somebody else's home at some point if they don't like where they're at anymore, or where they're at gets torn down, or something about that. So it could have been some energy that happened in the neighborhood. You just don't know right off the bat. All you know is that there's something crazy happening in your house. That's all you know. What other things happened in there? Do you remember?
Well, the next major thing that happened was I got my first EVP, and that was in the same room. My house was kind of busy because my brothers had a lot of their friends, and we always had people in and out of that house. Mm-hmm. So there was always something going on. Mm-hmm. But this particular night, there was nobody there. And I was like, oh, hey, cool. I'm going to get an EVP. Because I just finished a book about EVPs. And I was like, hey, I want to do this. Let me see what I can get. So I had one of those old boom boxes with the detachable speakers. Mm-hmm. And they had the two tape decks. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. So I said, you know, if there's anything in here, show me. And I went ahead and, you know, hit record. And I went to a friend's house for about an hour, came back, rewound it, and I played it through, and I got, you know, white noise and then not much. And then I started getting these weird bleeps and blips, and I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Then right almost at the very end, it was like somebody was drumming on top of the machine, and that really got my attention. And then at the very end, this voice came through that says, I have shown you, ha ha. And it was like if you took it and slowed it down, and it was like this very slow, I have shown, it sounded evil, and it scared me. I fell out of the chair and ran out of the house because I was like, oh my God, it answered my question and it's evil because it sounded horrible. But so that was a catalyst that really kicked off my whole, you know, what the heck was that? And I got to find out more about this paranormal stuff. But that was the first real major event that really was just like, wow.
Had you played with anything up until that point, a Ouija board or anything else that would have... That's interesting that, you know, and I have showed you that, and especially in a creepy voice. It didn't come over as a child's voice. It didn't come over as a little girl's voice, even though if that's the case, I would warn you, it might be a trickster. People get very vulnerable when they hear children and older people and stuff like that, because you feel so sorry for them right off the bat, but yet you really don't know what you're dealing with. I know even when I shot or photographed that image in the screen window, they melted my heart immediately, because they showed to me on film, very clear, by the way, and very obvious, one man, one little girl, and different ages too. But also brought me back there all of a sudden to want to continue to ghost hunt on that property. And I had a number of experiences on that property at that point, after that. And it sometimes it's a lure. So have you ever felt lured at all? Like here's an example, like you hear a noise in one room and it sounds like something broke or fell over or something. So you want to go and investigate. Have you ever had that happen to you yet?
Oh yeah. I lived in a haunted house in college, and the spirit that had, he was an older man that owned the house who had passed, and he used to like to slam the cabinet doors in the kitchen and like rattle dishes and things like that. And my roommate at the time, he would never do it when we were together. Only when we were in the houses alone, different times. So we one day he compared, he was like, "Hey man, do you keep hearing these things?" I said, "Oh my God, I thought I was the only one." But yeah, he used to love slamming doors and all sorts of stuff just to get our attention. Yeah. I mean, he was nice. I mean, he just wanted to make sure we were going to treat his house right. But at the time, I didn't know that. I was just like, why is my door slamming and I'm the only one in the house?
Yeah. And you've heard of things, but you bring up a good point too. If this was his house, right? He wanted to make sure that you knew that he was still watching over it, or this, if he's still there, it was obvious. It's obvious to me that it was an important enough home, whether he built it, whether he loved it, whether he put his love into it or whatever. Some people, apparitions just cannot leave their homestead. They're still watching over the home, you know, that kind of thing. Just the same with the place where I'm talking about my grandparents' home. My grandparents had passed. They essentially was kind of boarded up, you know, got in at times, ran around the property outside at times, but it was watched over. This was an important piece of history that was created by my great grandfather. And, you know, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into that. So did he try? He didn't try to scare you though. He just wanted you to know that, that he was still around, or maybe he was messing with something in the kitchen and was trying to make himself a sandwich. Who knows, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. Like I said, the only reason I figured that out is, my friend who ended up being my girlfriend was a psychic. So she was the one who told me about the impressions and who this person was and what he was doing. And I was like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And how long did you stay in that house for? Very long?
Barely a year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep. And then you moved on. So now, so then after that point happened and you captured this EVP, which is very scary. Did you ever try to get EVPs after that?
Yes. And I was not very successful. I used to go to cemeteries all the time. As a matter of fact, the school that where I lived in the haunted house had a cemetery that came up to almost right next to one of the dormitories. And I always thought that was so cool because I was like, wow. You know, I used to joke to my professors and people and say, yeah, that's the reason I came here is because of that cemetery. And they were like, what? They get it now. But back then they were just, I was just like the creepy, crazy kid or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful. It was a beautiful cemetery. But yeah, I did, but I was very unsuccessful. And now that I go back, I realized that a lot of stuff that I thought I heard was probably just white noise or a car passing, because it couldn't be. And then as I got older and continually did these, I could differentiate between what could have possibly been something and just regular noise. And then that always kind of, you know, I was never very successful. I'm still really not successful to this day. And I don't know why. You figure with everything else that EVPs would be one thing that I'd be really good at, but apparently they don't like to talk to me that way, I guess.
Well, I am pretty good at You have to understand your app. You have to understand what app you're using. I use an app, and a lot of people, some people disregard it and they go, oh, that. And then other people go, oh, yeah. And but it's like with any piece of equipment. When you use your equipment enough, you start to understand your equipment and the intelligence. So when I go into cemeteries periodically, and I'm usually just going actually into my own relative cemeteries. And I'll give you a couple examples here though. So the house that I'm was talking about was going to be burned down. It was burned down a couple years ago. It had to come down. Unfortunately, it was 120-year-old. It was a beautiful property then, but it was in disarray. So I went to the cemetery and I talked to my great grandfather, the one that I believe showed up in the window. And I explained to him and I said, your house is going to be burned down. It was a beautiful house and all this. And I said, I'm so sorry. It's such a legacy, but we just don't have the money to keep it going, or no one wants to come out and live here. I'm so sorry. Actually, one person in my family did, but you know, it's a long story. Anyway, I said, is there anything I could possibly do right now for you? Is there anything I could do? And what came over my app was massage. Now, someone had a sense of humor. It was either I had always been told that my great grandmother, who, you know, with my great grandfather, was the one who always had this light sense of humor. And keep in mind that they've been buried in the ground for about 75 years. So after a while, he's getting a little bit rickety there. He probably wanted a massage because he's a little stiff, you know. So you have to catch on to the humor that's coming out of your app. You have to understand your app. You have to understand the words. You have to understand whether they're intelligent words that are coming out. And so I have had hits with my relatives on occasion, but, and I'm going to put in the big but here, most people feel, most, not all, that once somebody passes away, that they're not necessarily hanging out at the cemetery anymore, that they're not there with their body. But the only way to connect back to that is to say their first, middle, and last name three times and be very patient. And then make your request, because you can't go into a cemetery and go, Dad, I need to talk to you. And what happens is everybody in the cemetery is a dad. Everybody in the cemetery is a mom. So once you start saying their first, middle, and last name, you might have better results with getting some kind of a response. But you also, it's based on conditions. There's a lot of things, conditions, environment, there's a whole bunch of things that go into whether you're going to have a hit or not. Have you tried any of the apps yet?
No, I've stuck to the tape recordings. I have not tried an app. I had a friend who had that, I think it was called the Ghost app.
Ghost Classic, yes. Ghost Classic.
Yeah, so, and you know, and he was like, do you think this is really it? Because there's a spirit upstairs. And I was like, dude, I don't know. I said, I guess it could be. I just never really felt comfortable with that, because there just seemed to me that there was too many things with that particular one that just could be them like just being fake. And yeah. I never used that, but I know that there's other apps out there. But no, I just used the best thing I've ever done. I had a Panasonic handheld with the magnetic tape strips, which I don't think they even make anymore. And that's the best one I've ever had that's actually gotten good hits with.
Yeah, I use the Ghost app, that one too. And again, people have their different reactions to it, but I have come to grown so used to knowing what when I'm getting an intelligent hit and when I'm getting garbage, that I can tell the difference. And I've had several intelligent conversations using that app in many places, including a cave that my husband and I explored on a tour, probably about a year ago or so. And I turned on the app. I hadn't used it for a long time, but I thought, what the heck, right? And it was giving me words and hits. So every time I would get a hit or a word, I would blurt it out. Floor, does floor mean anything to anyone here? And the tour guides would freak out. Because they said, yes, we believe that there's actually somebody buried right underneath your feet right now. And then they would give me a name and all that. And so these are what are called intelligent hits, but you can get garbage as well. But you just have to know your equipment. So you bond better with the type of equipment that you feel comfortable with, okay? And there's some things, too. I was going to ask this question. I have had video recorders that I have actually filmed literally orbs that have opened up into masses and then swooshed out through solid doors, only to have the little darlings go and erase my footage and kill my batteries. Have you ever had that experience yet?
Yes, well, that's what happened with the tape that I told you about, the EVP. Mm-hmm. It got eaten.
Yeah.
So I have no evidence at all other than what I heard. So people, I can't even play anything for anybody because it was on a Maxell 60 minute.
Yep.
And it got eaten shortly after I made that recording. So.
Yep. There's very few people that can literally say, everything that I go after, I still have in my possession. I mean, no, it doesn't happen like that. And so a lot of times we do run into batteries that go dead, you know, this and that, or you're trying to tape something of something that's happening coming out of something else and you don't hear anything. This is very typical and very, I guess, normal. So now that you've had those kind of experiences and you're intrigued by it a little bit more, what next? What happened to you next?
Well, that's when I had the attachment that was not very nice. I had a, for lack of a better word, a very evil attachment. And it all started with, we were trying to do a channeling session.
Okay.
And something came through that shouldn't have come through. And it was very, I hate to say demonic looking, but that's exactly what it was. It looked like it was just this bat faced thing that came through, and it was very ugly. And the people in the channeling session, we all changed. Like, my personality changed totally. And I think, from what I understand and what I've read, I think I was in the throes of oppression at the time. And and again, I think the D word is overused in paranormal circles.
Yeah,
I do know that there are out there, but I know there's a lot of evil spirits as well. But anyway, whatever this thing was, it attached itself to me specifically, and it changed my personality to the point where I was cutting people off. I was rude. I was me. I didn't want to deal with anybody. I wasn't going to classes anymore. Mm-hmm. I was isolating, and I knew something was wrong with me. I said, this isn't me. And people were like, what is going on here? So I told the people in the circle, I said, we got to do something, because everybody was having bad things happen to them. The one person that we were with, her and her boyfriend, who was a staunch disbeliever, total skeptic, mm-hmm. ended up wrecking on his motorcycle. He almost died.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she had things would break down in her house, her car would break down, just all this bad luck befell mm-hmm. everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically I said, look, we got to do something about this. So we try to do the circle again. And I think it went, I'm not sure if it went away or if it's still out here, but after a couple months, it finally, we went back to normal, but it was nasty, whatever this thing was.
So are you saying, when you said channeling, are you saying you were in a seance? Is that what you were doing? Or how many people did this involve, and what did you, or did you just stand around, hold hands, and do some chant that maybe you shouldn't have chanted?
We were just in a circle. There was like four of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, four of us in a circle, and we were just, you know, we were just doing the whole, you know, close your eyes, relax your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we were trying to do is we were trying to show him mm-hmm. that stuff is out there, and that was a mistake, because, yeah, we showed him all right. Because
mm-hmm.
whatever showed itself was really bad. But, and the thing was that we all saw it at the same time. That was the thing that really got us, is we all saw it in our mind's eye.
That's what's
wondering. Exactly the same time.
Okay. And you're,
and we all just like jumped back, like, oh my God, what was that? Because we were all freaked out, because we weren't expecting to see it all at the same time.
Were you standing on a piece of property or in an area or something that had some kind of a curse on it, or do you think that didn't have anything to do with it?
You know, I don't know. The land that we were on, I was actually in a home in a kitchen, but the land was really old. So it may have been part of the land. There may have been something attached to the land because that house never acted right, quite honestly. Even before this, there was just a weird vibe you got off of being in there.
Mm-hmm. And whose house was this? This was yours? Was this your
house? No, this was the boyfriend's girlfriend's house. Yeah, that we were trying to show that, you know, paranormal does exist.
Oh, did he also, even though that situation occurred, what did he become a believer after that point?
I think he did, but he won't talk about it to this day. And I haven't seen him in a long time, but the last time I did see him, I kind of made light about, hey, you remember that time? And he just kind of walked away, didn't say a word to me, and turned around and walked away. I've never seen him since, but that was in Pennsylvania. That was another state. But he wouldn't talk to me about it. And he just kind of had this look of weirdness on his face and turned. And I had heard that after that, they'd broken up. And every once in a while, you get like, you'd hear about something that was going on with them, and it was always usually something negative. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's sometimes lessons can be very hard to swallow when something really does happen. And in a skeptic's eye, usually a skeptic will either avoid or they'll still deny. And even though he started out as a skeptic, whatever it was probably scared him so badly that, and whatever was happening after that, he just didn't want to go anywhere near that because it might have re-drudged it up or re-triggered something that he just wasn't able to stomach going through ever again, you know, because people have all kinds of things happen to them. I know that there's an example of the Mothman. I'll give this as just a simple example. I watched this on television. Of course, you can't believe everything you see on television. But the thing is I do believe the story that they're trying to tell. This couple went out to the area where they had a Mothman experience, or they were told where the Mothman likes to kind of hang out in the forest. So they went out to the forest to try to find Mothman. And they were mocking it and this and that, and hey, come out, and being real ego-like and all that. And when they went home, Mothman actually followed them home and started showing up in their bedroom and just absolutely terrorizing them. And this had gone on for 10 years, so they couldn't stop this Mothman from terrorizing them. So they went back out to the forest and they said, we are very sorry. We're sorry for the way we behaved. We promise, please just leave us alone, blah, blah, blah. And I think from what I saw at the ending of this show, I think it said that Mothman continued to appear to terrorize them, and it just didn't stop, even with their begging and asking for, you know, but giving them an apology for the mocking. Some of this stuff you don't want to play around with, and especially if you don't know how to open and or close a portal properly. The same with the use of a Ouija board, same thing. People think, well, it's being sold in stores. Yeah, but you don't really quite understand that whole gizmo of maybe why it's being in the stores still, and it's very political. And so, but I have seen Ouija boards act up, by the way, at a conference I went to. They swore up and down that their Ouija boards were not, this was a vendor, weren't haunted or anything. One literally, I kid you not, jumped out of its the tray that it was being held in against the wall. It jumped out and fell to the floor. And then when they said again, I guarantee you these Ouija boards are completely harmless, the guy's what do I want to call it, his table with stuff on it just collapsed literally and just went like on cue, like all the way, yeah, all right. And we're like all shaking our heads and walking away. The thing is you just don't know, right? So then you've had that experience. Do you think you had anything of that sort still attached to you, or did it finally come off of you, or did you get it off?
No, I think it finally came off of me about five, maybe 6 months later. Mm-hmm. Things resolved themselves. Things went back to normal. I was back to normal. So yeah, it finally, whatever, whether we closed it and it went in or it went elsewhere, which I hope it didn't, but yeah, we all went back to normal. I mean, we still had experiences obviously, but nothing like it was, but I will never want that again. I mean, and that's why I tell people, you know, cause it never fails that like every Halloween, you'll get people that go to the local cemetery and not know what they're doing, and God knows what they're unleashing. And I'm like, don't mess around with this stuff. This is not a joke.
Mm-hmm.
This is the real deal here. And if you don't know what you're doing, you know, I've had too many people play with this or dabble, quote unquote.
Dabble.
And then when things happen, I was like, I told you. What? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just, it's no joke.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the thing, is a lot of people, oh, I don't believe, that's fine if you don't believe it, but don't play around with it. Don't mock it. Don't do these things because something's going to show you.
That's very true, because sometimes when that's how I started out at my very first bed and breakfast. See, after I photographed those images in the window, and I was telepathic, I thought, wow, if I could hear what they had to say to me. Now they weren't, I couldn't see them. It was just something that came, and it was like a knowing and like a voice that came out of my head. Then I wanted to experiment at proclaimed haunted bed and breakfasts. And my first one was Litchfield Plantation. And we didn't end up in the main house. We ended up in a villa. And I was bummed about that on the property. I was bummed about that because I thought, well, now I'm not going to ever have an experience. And oh my God, my husband made the mistake when we walked through the door because he didn't think this stuff was real. Bring it on, ghosts. Oh, dear God.
Oh.
Yeah. And I am telling you, that was a good chapter. That's a good chapter in my book, by the way, of everything that happened in that villa that evening, to the point where I said, apologize to this ghost already before so I can get some sleep tonight, because everything was happening in that place. It was so spooky. You could just see me the next day. For you know, get in the car and you could just see the poof of dirt literally behind the vehicle getting the heck out of there. But we do a lot of bed and breakfasts that are proclaimed haunted. He doesn't like that. I said, don't worry about it. I'm not provoking anything. I just want to see if anything will come to me, and it usually does in some way. That's my next question to you. So have you noticed that in particular environments or wherever you might go, can you tell now, since you've been kind of sensitized to it, can you tell a little bit that something's in your presence, or you're getting a feeling inside, like almost you kind of know, you have a knowing that something is there with you? What do you say to that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. In the time that's happened, like I said, when I understand this a little more, since I've, you know, studied it extensively and talked with a lot of people that go through the same thing. I'll pick up on it immediately. Like I said, you know, a lot of people say I'm antisocial. I'm not antisocial. Being an empath, I can't block people's energies. I get a headache either way, and I get drained. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to, you know, I've had people tell me, hey, Kevin, do this, do that. And I've tried. I just, for whatever reason, I can't do it. You know, crowds bother me, and they always have. And now I know why.
Yep. Some crowds don't bother me. There are some crowds I accept, but the energy, I'm also an empath, and you probably are a highly sensitive person. That's an actual diagnosis, HSP, which I just learned from interviewing another guest on this show a couple weeks back, and I think they're not in your season, they're in season 12, but we talk a little bit about being a highly sensitive person, and then you couple that with being an empath. And by the way, it's the same thing for me. I don't like going into, well, bars as an example, because the energy in there absolutely kills me. However, if I somehow block this and I accept the environment that I'm going into, even if there's a lot of people, it's easier, but I can't do the same thing either. People's energies drive me nuts. So, that's very interesting that you have now found that in of yourself as to why. And antisocial, yeah, I've been told that. I'm an extrovert, introvert. I'm an extrovert in some situations and very outgoing, and an introvert in others, meaning don't bother me, leave me alone. I'm blocking you. Don't get near me. Back up. Because I have a tendency to attract energy vampires. And if that makes any sense to you,
yes.
That drains me faster than you can ever imagine. I can tell you an energy vampire from a mile away from them just standing 2 feet from me. Yep. I can't stand it. It makes me physically ill, sick, depressed, and very low energy. Do you find that too in yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, actually, the place that I work now, there's a couple. They don't know it because of their disability, but I know it. Mm-hmm. Immediately, I can't be around them. I have to go away from them because the minute they hit that door, they get near me, they're taking my energy, and I gotta regroup. I gotta get out of the classroom. I gotta walk away from them. And again, it's not their fault. They honestly don't know, and I can't tell them because, you know, that gets out in the wrong place, and of course I'll be shown the door, unfortunately, because, you know. But yeah, I'm the same way. And like I said, the one thing I do like about being empathic or highly sensitive is that it does help you. Because I've been in places where I knew immediately, stay away from that person. Because I got a bad vibe off of this person. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go the other way here. So in that regard, I really like it.
Interested in the story you had regarding you're in the shower and something very tall, shadowy, seemed to wanted to join you in the shower. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
Yes, and this actually took place in Winchester, Virginia, which is the property I actually researched. It was very old, and this was this particular spirit lived in the attic, and her name was Elizabeth. And from what I understand, she liked my energy, and I reminded her a lot of her husband back in
the day,
like pioneer times, I believe, 1800, somewhere around there. So she would, and I would go to the shower, have a shower. And it's like, you know, if you have the curtain open, it's like this cool breeze going through. This thing enveloped me. This swirled around me. There was no, the curtains open, because that's the first thing I noticed is like, this thing's like a hug. And it's like, why is this air hugging me? That's, what is this? This is weird. And then my girlfriend at the time, who was a psychic, told me, you know, that's Elizabeth, you know, she's in the attic. You've heard her in the attic. And I was like, oh, that's her. Cause we did have a lot of things going on in the attic. And I was like, well, you know, it's very uncomfortable because I don't, you know, it's just uncomfortable. And she's like, she just reminded her of her husband. And I said, well, what do I do? Cause I, you know, I don't want her, you know, doing this all the time. He said, just tell her, said to speak to her. I said, you know, Elizabeth, please, you're bothering me. Please do not join me in the shower. And at that time, I was still relatively new to all this. And I was just like, that sounds weird. And she was like, no, just go ahead and do that and see what happens. I did it and it stopped. And she stayed with us, but she was more, every once in a while, she'd make herself known. But overall, she just kind of stayed up in the attic and disappeared.
I'm kind of laughing with you because a situation like that happened to my husband when we were in North Dakota. I can't remember the place we were at. It was a hotel, very popular there. And I was in the living room of this hotel room, and he was in the shower, and all of a sudden he just screamed my name, like, you know, Kelly, you know, and I thought, what's going on, you know? So I get up and I rush to the bathroom, and he goes, did you just say something to me? Because I just heard something, you know, literally something was in my ear. And I said, oh, really? And I said, oh, cool. And I turned around and walked away. So cool. Yeah, let me go write this down in my chapter. So I made a chapter out of it in my book about how my husband got approached by something in the shower as well. But it panicked him. But for me, I'm like two thumbs up, you know. Oh, good. More evidence for me to write about. Love it. Have you noticed, though, that you have, I have had various experiences. They're not all the same, you know. They're always different, or they always come differently, or something, this or that or whatever. Have you noticed that you've had kind of different experiences as you march along here?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's almost like, I run the gambit, I think, of paranormal experiences, and and the thing is I've told people it's lessened a little bit now. There's other things at play now, so I think I've transcended a little bit.
No, I don't think so.
I'm not getting as much as the footsteps and the doors and the voices and this and that. I'm getting a lot of the I'm seeing three numbers all the time.
Oh, yes.
I'm thinking of somebody and they'll call and I haven't heard it, or I think of an obscure song and they play the band on the radio. Things like that happen to me all the time.
Yeah, if it's been recent, that has been happening a lot lately. Have you gone into anything extraterrestrial yet?
In another show, the host said, because I told her, I said, I don't think I have. I don't. I to me, I don't think I have. And she was like, "Well, how do you know you have it?" And I said, "Well, that's a good point. I don't. I'm just saying what from what I can recall, I don't believe I ever have. I do believe I've seen a UFO, though.
Okay, where?
I do, and right outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, about 15 years ago,
Okay, what
and
did
I'm
you
pretty
see?
sure." It was just that it was at night and it wasn't acting like an airplane or anything. And I was with my girlfriend at the time. And I said, what the heck is this thing doing? Because it wasn't acting like anything I've ever seen. And I was like, ah, it couldn't be. And I was in, and she was like, well, that's probably a UFO we're looking at. And I was like, yeah, what? And I was like, nah, it can't be. But now that I think about it, I think it was. Honestly, I saw a UFO and it was just acting weird.
Was it kind of like a lightning ball that was moving around erratically in the sky?
Yes.
Was it any particular color?
It would change. It was like golden and then it would turn kind of like a greenish red or something like
Oh,
that.
that
And
was definitely a UFO. Yeah, you had an experience. That's great. How long did it last, and did it dart up into the sky?
gosh, maybe a minute and a half, and that was gone. And we couldn't find it again.
Yeah, that's usually the case. My husband thought we saw one last night, and I said, "No, nah, I don't think so. That's not one." I'd love to talk to you some more. I want to talk to you about one more thing, though. I want to talk to you about, and this is what I'm looking down on here. So you just about finished your book, and then you started having, you had a near-death experience or experiences. Is that what you're writing here? Tell us what you feel comfortable with regarding what happened there.
So it was actually the my book had come out. It was actually I didn't know that at the time. It was I knew it was coming out soon. I didn't know when. But I had a major heart attack at work. I was working overnight in a substance abuse residential facility, which was quite haunted, and it's in the book. That was a great place because I had multiple people, including my boss, hear and see some things, and she never worked a night shift ever again. So that was interesting. But no, I had what they call the Widowmaker, and I should have been dead. And the doctor says, Kevin, I don't know how you're here because I had a person in here much better shape than you. He's not here. You're here. So that must mean something. So clean up your act. Because I was a 2.5 pack a day smoker, working overnight. I was drinking, of course, a ton of coffee, not really taking care of myself, and I had that Widowmaker heart attack. But it was weird because I what it was is when I was when they were working on me to un to put a stent in, I was sitting there, and everybody was working around me, and I could hear everything, and I could see everything, but it was just almost kind of like if I wasn't there, and then. It was just weird. Then this feeling of calm and peace that I've never felt ever in my life came over me. And something in my head said, hey, if I'm ready to go, I'm good. I'm okay. And then next thing I know it was like the procedure was over and I was fine. But it was just that one. And I talked to a friend of mine and explained that. She said, you had an NDE. And I was like, really? She's like, oh yeah, classic. I said, but I didn't see anybody, and there was no light at the tunnel, no relatives around. She said, it didn't matter. The fact that you had this calm, peaceful feeling and you were ready to go meant that you were ready. You had an NDE, and it's not your time. So I've been chasing that for about 5 years. Why do we have these things? What does it mean? So that's actually the subject of my next book. Is I've gotten some great stories that are nothing like mine. They're like, wow, they're really out there. But I just, you know, why us? You know, it's like this exclusive club of people who cheated death, and why? So
tell everybody how they can get your book, how they can contact you if they want to contact you, and we'll start it from there.
Okay, sure. So obviously Amazon is the best place to get my book. They can also get it at pretty much anywhere, I think, that does online book sales. They can also get it at my publisher's website at Ozark, OzarkMTN.com, OzarkMountain.com. My author's page is there. So I think you're able to leave a comment. And like I said, Ozark Mountain has a lot of cool stuff dealing with the, paranormal and things of this nature and the metaphysical and everything you can imagine. So it's a great website to do that. You can purchase it there. You can contact me at my email at KKILLEN, B as in boy, T as in Tom, KKillenBT@gmail.com. Feel free to drop me a line, say hi, bye. Let's talk about anything. I'm always available. I love talking to people. So drop me a line if you have any questions or concerns or you just want to say hi. I'm always good for that. And you can look my name up on Facebook also. And I have a Facebook page as well.
Well, Kevin, you and I will just continue to light up the skies. How's that, you know? But on behalf of the show and myself and everyone, thank you so much for being on the show today.